to study the resurrection of Christ. Of course, everything that happened in the Gospels happened so that this could take place. Jesus died, but that is really not the end of the story. The end of the story is that he was raised from the dead. So the resurrection would be the absolute biggest, greatest thing that we have in the life of Christ. If Jesus hadn't have raised from the dead, he would not have been able to ascend back up to the Father and use his blood in order to forgive us of our sins. And so it is the resurrection that is really the important thing in the life of Christ. It is the one thing that Jesus would point out from time to time, and he would do it in kind of an unusual way. He would say concerning his body, he would say, "You destroy this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days." And they understood, the first time they didn't understand. They thought that he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem. But they did understand that he was talking about the temple of his body. He told them on various occasions when they asked, they said, "Well, can you show us a sign? Give us a sign that comes from heaven." And he said at that time, "There'll be no sign given except the sign of Jonah." And then he says, "As Jonah was buried and raised again, so I will die and I will be raised again. And when I'm raised, that is the one sign, the one miracle that you will have to stand back and look and say, there can't be any forgery. There can't be any way to get around this. Indeed, Jesus is the Son of God." The apostles, as they go out to preach, will use the resurrection. That's the one thing that they will use to go out into the Gentile world to prove that Jesus was indeed the Christ. Because, and then it comes back down to the resurrection. So today, we're down now to this part of our story in the life of Christ to study about the resurrection of Christ. Last week, we studied about the burial of Christ, week before the death of Christ, and so now we're down to this. So, as we look at it here, why we're going to see that the phenomena is, the problem is, Jesus' body was in the tomb at 6 o'clock on Saturday. That is uncontested. The Roman government knew it. The guards were out there. The Jewish rulers knew it. The Christians knew it. At that time, really, there were no Christians. There were followers of Christ there. But everybody knew that body was in that particular grave. They saw it go in, and the guards were put out so that nobody could take it out. But the problem is, everybody knows it was in there at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. And at about 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, it was gone. Disappeared. What happened to it? It just disappeared. And they've been looking for it for the last 1,800 or 1,981 years, trying to figure out what happened to that body. Now, when you begin to look at it, you can see that the empty tomb still speaks loud and clear 1,981 years later. It screams at the world, "Jesus is the Christ. Look at this. Look at this." And you got those situations you have to deal with. Now, Jesus said he would raise from the dead on the third day. So either one of three things is true. There ain't no fourth. One of three things. He either raised from the dead as he said he would, or his friends stole his body from the tomb like the guards were paid to say that they did, or his enemies stole his body from the tomb. That's it. Nobody else, no other fourth. So now you look at it and you say, well, number one, he raised from the dead as he said he would. So people say, oh, no, that's not true. Okay, which one of the others is true? Now, if his friends stole his body from the tomb, what would that mean? That would mean that these men, these disciples, went in and stole the body. Jesus said that he was going to raise on the third day. They knew he wouldn't. So they stole his body to act like he did. They were going to foist it out on the world. They were going to propagate this hoax. Since everybody knew Jesus said he would raise on the third day, his disciples stole his body, hid his body, so that people would think he raised from the dead. Now, there's one big problem with that. All of these disciples suffered throughout their life because they believed Jesus raised from the dead. All of these disciples, out of these men, they were put to death. They suffered during their lifetime. The Apostle Paul describes the apostles. He said, I look at us and I think of us as being the off-scouring of the world. He said, our life is so miserable, and we see a lot of the things that happened to Paul, that it is as though the world is treating us as though we're nothing more than if you found an old piece of rusty skillet out in the field. You picked it up and you took a chisel and you scraped off all the crud. That's what we call it. Ugly name. So you scrape it off and the crud falls down there on the porch. That's the off-scouring. That's what Paul said we are. We are treated as the off-scouring of the world. And finally, they died for it. Now, can you convince somebody that here these men stole his body, they knew he didn't raise from the dead, they knew it was a hoax, they knew that they had his body hid out there somewhere, and they were willing to suffer every day of their life, and they were willing to die for this lie? All 12 of them. The Apostle John is the only one that history says wasn't killed, and I'm sure many times he wished he had been, because he was exiled and mistreated in various ways. So you say, no, you can't get 12 men, not a single one of them broke ranks. Every one of them says, we're doing it because he raised from the dead. So no sane individual can claim his friends would do that. Well, then his enemies then stole the body. Now, if his enemies stole the body, what was the one big thing that they all argued about, the enemies and all that, one big controversy? It was whether or not he was raised from the dead. If Jesus was actually raised, then there's no doubt about it, he's the Son of God. Because there's no way that can be duplicated. So these people who have tried to destroy Christianity, and at that time, those enemies who hated Jesus, who wanted to prove he was a liar and he was a fraud, it's unbelievable to say they stole his body and didn't present it. Because all they had to do was on the fourth day just say, look, all of you people, those of you who think he actually raised from the dead, come here. Take him over and show him there is his body. We stole it. We hid it. he didn't raise from the dead. Christianity would have died. The name of Christ would no longer have ever been mentioned. It would all been over. And yet, his enemies have spent their lives, beginning at that time, all during the first century time, and hating him, and going through all this, when all they had to do was just say, oh no, we took his body, and there it is. It's impossible for that to happen. And so there we have our three choices. And that is what the world is up against today. Obviously, Jesus had to raise from the dead. But now as we look at the resurrection, we see that Paul showed this really is the big thing that we preach. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, which also you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you. So what is the gospel? He said, we preach the gospel. He said, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered first of all to you. He's going to tell about the gospel. First of all, that which I received, that Christ died, one, for our sins according to the scriptures, that he too was buried, and that he three rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That was the foundation. That was the basis. That is what turned the world upside down. Was his resurrection. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now last week we learned that they put out those four soldiers out there because they wanted to make sure they sealed the tomb that he couldn't get out of that tomb. Then we read last week again where an angel came. He rolled away that big stone and sat up on it. Now what would you think if you were trying to guard that opening? And all of a sudden, an angel in white apparel appeared to you. He rolled away that big stone all by himself, jumped on top of it, and sat down and looked at you. That's what happened to those guards. They were petrified. It said they became as dead men. They ran into the Jewish leaders and said, here's what happened. Now, all the Jewish leaders would have had to say, oh, no, we have his body. No, his body's gone. And so they said, well, you say that somebody stole it away and so forth. They make a deal and excuses we studied last week. You say somebody stole it, and then we'll cover your back. All right, let's see now what happened. How did they find the empty tomb? Let's try to kind of put this in a historical sequence so we can see how it happened. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him, and very early on the first day of the week. So that's very early on a Sunday morning. Matthew's account says, as it began to dawn. So now, Saturday night, they placed him in there. Friday night, they placed him in there. And now then, on Sunday morning, they come. Well, they came and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, while they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, that is, the two angels here said, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. So here these women then go in, and the angels then make the announcement, it's just like he told you, he raised from the dead. They run back then to tell the other disciples and the apostles that were back there. And so we read about that again in Luke and again more detail in John. And these women came and they ran in and all those men are there. They're all despondent and waiting. And they came in and they said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb, and they both ran, and the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb. And stooping down and looking in, he seeth the linen cloths lying, yet he did not enter in. Now here we have Peter and John. Peter and John jump up, and they head for the tomb, running as fast as they can. John evidently was faster than Peter because he outran him. Might tell us a little bit, he may have been younger than Peter. We don't know. But anyway, he ran, and according to their personality again, see, we can see personality coming in this. John was a cautious man, and he looked in and he saw the linen garments, and he backed out. He's too cautious to go in. What is in there? But Peter comes, zoom, and Peter just zooms right in and goes in. And said, therefore Peter followed him, entered in, and he beheld those linen cloths. All that cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' body was all wrapped around neatly and folded up one end of the grave. And the head wrap that he used over here was folded up, and it was laid at the other end. So it was not a hurried escape. It was somebody who did that wanted to make an impression. Jesus raised from the dead. He wrapped up these things. He put them out there and said, then they absolutely were petrified again and said, but they didn't know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now this is funny to us. He had told them this over and over and over and over and over again. But some of these people understood that's what he said. His enemies knew that's what he said. But his friends still didn't believe it. Now, I suppose that they were saying, I wonder what he meant when he said he would rise from the dead. I wonder what he meant when he said on the third day the Son of Man will rise again. Got any idea what he meant, Oliver? Oliver said, no. That's interesting. I don't know what he would have meant. But it hadn't impacted their mind. Jesus would rise from the dead. His friends didn't understand that. So Mary now, she goes back after all this, and she finds Jesus. Now, we're going to learn that Jesus first appeared to her. He didn't appear to these other men when they came. So the first appearance Jesus made was to Mary Magdalene. So what we have this thing is then, we have these women going out to anoint his body some more. They saw the empty tomb. They went running back to these men and said, they've taken away his body. The tomb is empty. Peter and John come running down as fast as they can. And they see that it is empty. And now then, Mary Magdalene followed them back. She takes off before the others go back. At least she is the first one to get back to the tomb. So Peter and John go to the tomb. They leave. Mary gets there. She gets to the tomb after they leave. And then here's what we find. That as she gets to the tomb, why, it said she stooped down, and she beholdeth two angels in white sitting at the head, one at the feet and one at the body of Jesus. And he saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and beholdeth Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about this later. He appeared in different forms. So she looked, and she turned around, and here's a man. There he is. And she didn't recognize him as Jesus, whether it's through the tears of grief in her eyes or he didn't look like himself or what. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, lady, why do you weep? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if you have taken him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself. And now then she's going to look square at him and saith unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, that is the great title for a teacher. Rabbi was the normal. Rabboni was the great there. Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father, but go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. So here Mary turns around. She grabs hold of him. And Rabboni. And Jesus said, touch me not. That translation is a little misleading. That translation means, don't hold on to me. Now, the Greeks had ways of saying, just by changing tenses of the verb, whether it is, don't touch me, like that, or don't hold on to that thing, Lowell. That's what she was doing. She had grabbed him. She was holding on to him. And Jesus says, let go of me. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. So let go. There's some other things that need to be done. Now then, all the women at this time have decided to come back to the tomb. Peter and John ran. They're gone. Now Mary ran. She's there. She sees Jesus. And now the other women are headed to the tomb. And now then, Jesus is heading back, and he's going to meet all the other women. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, fear not. Go tell my brethren that they depart to Galilee, and there shall they see me. So he sees all of them. Now at the same time, or a little bit later probably in here, there's another event that happened. Now there were two men walking to Jerusalem. And it said, after these things, he was manifested in another form unto two of them as they walked on their way to the country. Now, here comes two of his believers, and he meets them. They don't recognize him because it said he appeared in another form. At this time, he can appear in another form. A little bit later, he'll walk through a door. And so now then, he appears to them in this other form, to these two men, and starts talking to these two. Now we get a full story of this in Luke. And behold, two of them, going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 7 miles, that is, from Jerusalem. And so they then communed with him and questioned him. They were questioning them drew near. And he went to them. They were talking. It said that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He didn't reveal himself to them. So as he walked along, he said, what are you talking about? And so they said in their 18, do you alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know the things which are come to pass these days? In other words, we're talking about the thing everybody's talking about. You're the only guy that doesn't know what is going on. And Jesus said, well, what things? And they said unto him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to condemn him to death, and said, and crucified him. But we hoped, we had hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things came to pass. So they said, we were really impressed with Jesus. We knew he was a great prophet, did great things, and we hoped he was the Redeemer of Israel. But today's the third day, and we haven't seen him. Here's two guys that took some little credence in that the third day. So he said he would rise the third day, and we had hoped it, but evidently, it's not going to happen. And so they were despondent. So now then, Jesus is going to appear to the 10 disciples. He's going to appear to the 10 disciples. And by the way, Well, let's put it in context. Jesus went home with these two men. He sat down and they had a meal together. And then when Jesus prayed, he prayed, gave thanks for the meal. They recognized his prayer. And it is Jesus. Wow. I don't know what happened to Jesus. But these two men got up and they headed into Jerusalem to tell the apostles that were in there. These two were not apostles. So they're headed in there. So it says, and they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen and hath appeared to Simon. Now Jesus has obviously told those two men, I've already talked to Simon Peter somewhere out here. So he said he appeared. And they rehearsed all things that happened and how he was known to them and the breaking of bread. And as they spake these things, so they're telling these 11 apostles, these 10, Judas is dead, and Thomas is not there. They're telling what happened to them. We saw him. We talked to him that's in there. Now, while they were telling a story, as they spake these things, he himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were affrighted and supposed that they beheld a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And wherefore do your questions arise in my heart, in your heart? Now their door was locked, we're told elsewhere. So they'd locked the door. Obviously, they're in fear. You have to stop to think that the rumors are now that going around that somebody stole the body of Jesus. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to believe. So they're in this locked door, and all of a sudden he just appears. And so he's in the room with them. And so he starts talking to them in there. Why are you troubled? Wherefore do questions arise? He said, see my feet, that is, I myself, my hands and my feet. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. So all check me out. Look at me, help yourself. Look around, you'll see all these scars, everything. And see, I'm flesh and bones. And a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. So, you know, I'm raised from the dead, is what he's saying. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit in there. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, just so overwhelmed with happiness, they couldn't accept it. This has happened to me a couple of times. Have any of you ever had any real bad anticipations? Like, I was taking my daughter 30 years ago to the hospital. She had been operated on for cancer, and the cancer had come back. My wife had died, and it had been about 4 months. And so I took her back over for this second operation on cancer. And I was overwhelmed. I was just overwhelmed. They went in, and they had invented the laser, and so they went in and said, okay, we're going to check this. So they go in, and finally they come out in about, 45 minutes or an hour and said, Mr. Williams, your daughter's fine. Said, we went in there, and it wasn't a cancer at all. Said, we had left a stitch in her esophagus in the last operation, and it was just infected. So we took it out, and she'll be great. Now, you would think I would have said, woo, wow, great. Nope. Oh. Good. Too much for me. My mind wouldn't take it. My mind had been overwhelmed with this grief to such an extent that it wouldn't soak in. They rolled her out. I went out and talked to her. She was the same way. They said, you can take her home in about 45 minutes, hour. I put her in the car and took her back home. We're driving home, and I said, do you want to stop at the Mexican restaurant and eat? And she said, well, yeah. I said, can you believe it? I'm not even happy. And she said, me either. That's the way they were. That's the way they were. They were just so overjoyed, they couldn't believe it. He said, do you have anything to eat? They gave him some cheese, fish, and he ate the fish. He's giving them evidence. I am a human being. See, that's what it is. I'm a human being. Now, it said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. And the other disciples, when he came in, they said, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hand, his hands, the print of nails, put my hands in his side, I will not believe. Well, people call him Doubting Thomas, but can you blame him? Did he want to know the truth? Did he want evidence? And they say, we've got it. And what he was saying is, I don't know if I can trust you, Ted, or not. I want to see it myself. I want absolute evidence. So 1 week later, 8 days later, the next Sunday, and after 8 days again, he was with them, and Thomas was with them. Jesus cometh, and the door being shut, and stood, that means locked, and he stood in the midst of them, and said, peace unto you. So he now just walks through the door, and he saith to Thomas, reach hither your finger, and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So he tells Thomas, Thomas, do what you said. Check me out. No longer be faithless, but believing. I am the Christ. I have raised from the dead. Thomas checked him out. And he answered and said, my Lord and my God. He was an absolute, total believer. He was one who was going ahead in life and willing to give his life because Jesus was raised from the dead. Then Jesus said an interesting thing about you. Jesus saith unto him, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. You've had the opportunity to check me out. You have the evidence. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So the people who haven't had the opportunity to see me and yet believe, blessed are they. Next week, we'll pick up our story from here, and we'll see as the apostles go out to give their testimony about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what they had to say. Class dismissed.